I'm Rachel, the creative director for Ram Dass's Love Serve Remember Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to our Inner Academy, a virtual Dharma hall where our family of wisdom teachers will help you navigate your daily life by bringing ancient wisdom into a modern context. With over 200 hours of audio and video teachings, meditations, and practices from teachers like Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Joseph Goldstein, and many more, the Inner Academy is your core resource for finding balance, presence, and navigating the ups and downs of your daily life. The Inner Academy has guidance for every step of your journey. Choose from an annual or monthly membership and gain access to past and future courses, retreat replays, virtual community, and much more. If you've been familiar with Love Serve Remember Foundation for a while, you'll know that most of our offerings are given freely or on a sliding scale basis. So when you subscribe to the Inner Academy, you're paying it forward and bolstering our ability to continue creating accessible offerings for all in the future, as Ram Dass wished for us to do. Be here now and start your journey with Ram Dass's Inner Academy today. For more, visit ramdass.org/innerAcademy.
To age gracefully is with awareness, is to be aware of what's going on in your life every minute, every day, and also trying to take care of the body so that you don't suffer and that you can accomplish your goals. And so you can do practice. If you're in pain and suffering terribly, it's very hard to do practice. Very difficult. So you want to try to be healthy for as long as you can so that you can do what's really necessary to have a good life and a good death and a good rebirth.
Welcome to the Krishna Dass Pilgrim Heart Hour. In this podcast, Krishna Dass shares his warm-hearted and down-to-earth path to the divine. If you are interested in supporting Krishna Dass's podcast, please go to BeHereNowNetwork.com/KD.
Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda Govinda 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 Radhe And Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. 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 Radhe
Radhe.
Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Radhe. Radhe, Govinda. Radhe, Govinda. Radhe.
I'm a first grade teacher, and I'm curious, was Maharaji ever around little children? If so, what words did he share with them, and what did he think of their endless energy and joy? Maharaji, when he was with children, was like a child himself. He was so loving and sweet, and he never talked about spiritual things with them. He told them to obey their parents and be good kids and study and do all that stuff. It was so sweet with children, really. Amazing, seeing with kids. When I'm unable to chant out loud, how do I chant quietly? When I can barely contain the feelings and feel I need to sing. I don't really understand the question, but you chant quietly, you chant quietly. You don't have to sing loudly. You don't even have to make any sound. You can chant mentally. So I don't know what you mean when you can barely contain the feelings. Don't contain them. Let them go. Why did Maharaji tell Ram Dass not to talk about him in America? Wouldn't he have known it was his Leela? You know, why Maharaja did anything is beyond my pay grade. Why he did, why he didn't, I don't know. And I'll tell you, you know the story about how when I wanted to go to India to see Maharaji after hanging out with Ram Dass for a couple of years in the States, I wanted to go be with Maharaji. And Ram Dass said, well, you know, I can't tell you where he is. And I said, that's okay, I'll find him. Right. I'm glad Ram Dass took some pity on me at that point. And he said, okay, look, just write to my friend KK in Nainital and then see what happens. So I wrote to KK. And I got a letter back saying that Maharaja was no longer in the hills at his temple in Kenchi. So now I had a place. But when he returned, that he would talk to him. He would show my letter to him. So then I got a letter back a few weeks later saying that Maharaji had returned to the hills. And KK had gone to see him, and he had taken my letter and two other letters that had come from Rameshwar Das and Jagannath Das, Danny Goldman. So KK came into the room and he sat down. Maharaji, there were some other people in the room. And he began to peel and cut up a soft apple into small pieces to offer to Maharaji. And he put the letters down on the bed next to Maharaji, the tucket, the cot. And then he started cutting up the apple, and Maharaji was talking to some other people. And KK was feeding him the apple, and he was eating the apples, and he happened to notice the letters next to him. And he said, what's that? And KK said, they're letters from students of Ram Dass. They want to come to see you. Maharaji said, nay, tell them not to come. What do I have to do with this? That's what he said. Now, you see, KK, so at that point, KK was very hurt because Maharaji had given him the seva to help Ram Dass when Ram Dass was in India, and he'd become very close to Ram Dass, and he felt that by helping us, he was helping Ram Dass. And now, Maharaji was interfering with the very seva that he gave KK to do. So KK got very offended, and he stopped feeding the apple to Ram Dass, to Maharaji, and he looked down like this, and he started to pout. And if you've, when KK pouted, it seemed like all the three worlds trembled. It was such a powerful thing when he, and so after Maharaji recognized, so he'd take KK, show me. Maharaji put his head up like this and he said, Kailash, what's the matter? But KK wouldn't look at him. And then when Maharaji took his hand away, KK went back down like this. And this happened a few times. So finally, Maharaji throws his hands up in the air and says, okay, tell him what you want. Now, KK is a good devotee. So he's not going to lie. But what did he write back? This is the letter he wrote back. What did he write back? He said, I hope Baba Ram Dass must have told you about Sri Maharaji, who does not show any kind of enthusiasm or sentiment in calling the devotees to him. And personalities like him would not commit themselves to anything. So it would not be advisable to make the journey, especially and specifically for this purpose only. However, if you happen to be visiting India and come here, you can have his darshan, as so many do day in and day out. Baba has an open door for all without any distinction of rich or poor, believer or non-believer, etc. And it all depends on the sincerity, devotion, and earnestness of an aspirant. If it had been another devotee that we wrote to, we would have gotten a letter back saying, Maharaj says, don't come, goodbye. And then I wouldn't be here. And if I wasn't here, you wouldn't be here. And a lot of things wouldn't be the way they are. But because it was KK, and of course, that's also Maharaji's doing. There's the Maharaji in the body, and then there's the big Maharaji. So I don't understand it. I don't know why. But it happened, so it must have had to happen. And I'm very grateful that it happened. I can't even begin. I would have been long gone. I didn't have the DNA to live very long. As it was touch and go a few times anyway. So I'm very blessed and grateful that I'm here still. It's all Maharaji's Leela. Nobody can understand it. Do I have any experiences with the Dalai Lama? Yes, some. I have met him personally. I met him in Dharamsala, and I offered my CD to him. And there's a picture of me, and he handed it right back to me. We said a couple of words, and bye. Okay, bye. And that was it. The whole meeting was, if it was 90 seconds, maybe, 2 minutes at the most. He was very busy seeing a lot of people. But I've experienced many teachings with him. I've gone to many programs of his, retreats and teachings that go on for 3, 4, 5 days, and it's an extraordinary experience. His presence is so large and deep and oceanic. Sitting in the room is extraordinary, really amazing. How are Ram and Krishna connected? They are both the same being in a different form. They say they're avatars or manifestations, incarnations of Vishnu, who is part of the trilogy of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who themselves are aspects of the Great One of which we are all a part. They have different functions. And Vishnu is active in the world. He supposedly preserves the world. It's like the energy of love. Keeps the world together, keeps your molecules working and in order. Brahma supposedly creates the world. And Vishnu supposedly, and Shiva supposedly destroys the world when the time has come, when the sun sets on this age. And then, of course, Brahma recreates it. And it's all like a huge, the time frame is huge according to what we feel is time, how we experience time. So they're essentially the same being with different form, slightly different manifestations. But basically, all the avatars of Vishnu come to destroy negativity. usually in the form of some big demon who's threatening humanity or threatening the worlds, all the worlds, and the gods, the demon, the humans, the animals. Vishnu is called the preserver. So that's a simple explanation, and I'm sure it's much more deeper. You know, as somebody's asking the title of the book, The 84 Mahasiddhas, just look it up. Google 84 Mahasiddhas. There's a book. It's by Keith Dowman, D-O-W-M-A-N. How can we age, grow old bravely and gracefully? Well, if someone knows, please tell me. You know, one has to deal with reality. The problem is that we live in such fantasy worlds and such dream worlds, and that so much of our daily life is occupied with getting stuff, holding on to stuff, taking care of stuff, throwing stuff away, getting more stuff. We're so busy that we don't get a chance to just be here. And when we're not here, when we're lost in dreamland and lost in busyness and distraction, we don't experience time going by. And then, boom, a breath does not come in and we're gone out of this body, these bodies. So to age gracefully is with awareness, is to be aware of what's going on in your life, every minute, every day. And also trying to take care of the body so that you don't suffer and that you can accomplish your goals. And so you can do practice. If you're in pain and suffering terribly, it's very hard to do practice. Very difficult. So you want to try to be healthy for as long as you can so that you can do what's really necessary to have a good life and a good death and a good rebirth. But we have to plant those seeds now while we can. Did Maharaji ever say anything about ghosts or supernatural entities in haunted places? Well, there's this funny story. There was a man named Purnanand who lived in Kenchi, in the little village of Kenchi. Very small, just a few houses. And he owned some land. And he and his brother were involved in some court case about the ownership of the land. So he had come to Nainital to go to court. But unfortunately, he left certain papers that he needed at home. So late at night, he had to go all the way back. It's a 3 or 4 or 5 hour walk, depending on how you go, over the mountains or by the roads. And so he was walking back late at night, and he came to this place on the road in a little village. And in this village, right by the road, there was a tree. And hanging from a branch of the tree was an iron chain. And the belief was, and is maybe still, that some yogi, there was some demon or some ghost bothering people in that village. So the yogi caught the ghost and chained him to the tree so that he wouldn't bother people. Okay? And so as a result, most people after dark avoided this particular path to walk because they believed it was haunted. And the village people in India, they very much believe in ghosts. People in India, they believe in beings in different forms, many different types of forms. So now Purnananda is walking down the road, like in the middle of the night, all alone, And he's coming to this place and he has to pass right by this tree. And he's very nervous. And as he gets closer to the tree, he sees in the dark that there's someone sitting at the foot of the tree in the dark. And he thinks to himself, this must be the ghost. What am I going to do? Should I run? What should I do? And just as he's trying to figure out what to do, the person sitting under the tree calls him by his name. Purnanand, come here. Now he's screwed. He can't run away. So slowly he gets closer and closer and closer to the tree, and he gets close enough and he sees that this person looks like Neem Karoli Baba, who he'd never met, but he'd been described to him because Maharaji was all around that area. And he guesses it's Maharaji, and he says, Baba, what are you doing here? And Maharaji says to him, I'm hiding out from the ghosts in Nainital. The people, the miserable people. I'm hiding out from the ghosts in Nainital by a haunted tree. He says, come here. So Purnanand goes there and they talk. Maharaj says, okay, you keep walking. In a few minutes, a truck is going to come by and give you a ride to Kinchi. Go on, ciao. And Purnanand says to him, Baba, when will I meet you again? And Maharaj said, I'll see you in 20 years. So Purnanand thought, he's just blowing me off. I'll never see him again. So he goes back. He starts walking down the road, and after a little while, a truck comes by and picks him up and takes him home. Probably just about 20 years to the day, there's a knock on Purnanand's door. And he opens the door, and someone says to him, there's a Baba who's calling you across the road. He's sitting in the jungle. He wants to speak to you. So Purnanand goes out, crosses the street, and down into the jungle. And there's Maharaji, 20 years later, like he said. And some of the land that was owned by Purnanand was donated to the temple. And Maharaji said, there'll be a temple here. This is before Kinchi was built, way before. So, for Maharaji, all beings are equal. He's not afraid of ghosts. He sees the divine beings. He sees the human beings. He sees a ghost is an entity, a soul that doesn't have a physical body. And it might be suffering, it might not be suffering. He might have attachments to people, so he's always hanging around bothering them, or he might not, and he might be just off moving on to his next birth. Who knows? What is the candy I'm eating? The candy I am eating is Ricola. This is the candy I'm eating. And if you want to rot your teeth and have a big dentist bill, you can eat it too. It's the only thing I've found that keeps my throat lubricated when I sing. But I have to brush my teeth like 3 times a day, otherwise they'll all be rotted out by now, because it is sugar. The prayer that I say at the end of kirtan, yes, that came to me. I made it up, you could say, whatever. About the beings, the blessings of the great beings who have gone before us. It's based on the idea of offering the merit or the good karmas that we've generated by chanting, offering that to all beings, to help all beings, to help everyone. Because if everyone was happy, if everyone had enough food, if everybody had what they needed, maybe we wouldn't be killing each other. So that's our hope, that's our aspiration. That everybody's happy. And if everybody's happy, then they're not going to screw around and hurt other people. But we're working on it. How do we get rid of lust? If it happens a lot of time, we can save. I'm sorry, I don't understand that second part. You can't get rid of lust. We're human beings. The body has its own desires, its own hungers. The emotions have their own hungers. For us, for worldly people, people living in the world every day, involved in relationships, sexual desire is natural. It's a natural thing. Now, what we see, though, of course, is that just like other things, it can be used in negative ways to hurt people and to control people and to build up your ego and all kinds of stuff and create terrible situations, very painful situations, and tremendous suffering. And because we have so much self-loathing and so much self-hatred, we don't know how to be happy. And so that energy, that sexual energy, we think is going to bring us happiness. It's like a hunger. So we're temporarily satisfied, and then we've got it comes back again and again. Just like eating food. We eat food, and then we're satisfied for a while, then we have to eat again. It's a hunger like that, a hunger of the body. So none of my teachers ever told me it was wrong or evil, but it can take over our thoughts and our mind, and we become very sex obsessed and very lost in that, just like we can in other obsessive behaviors. So. And basically, everybody's pretty crazy with it. If you look around, the whole world is, this is what makes the world go around. So the question is, what's your relationship with that particular hunger? And if you're not at ease with that part, why not? And why can't you have a good relationship? Because the sex drive causes us to meet with other people and engage in sexual behavior. But that doesn't necessarily mean a good relationship. So there's no way to get rid of that desire totally, not for people who are in the world. There are people who have transcended that desire, who are no longer controlled by it. But it's a very small number of people. And you can't just shut it off. Look at the church. Look at all the sexual abuse in the churches. They don't talk about sex. The fathers are supposed to be celibate, but there's so much sexual abuse because they don't deal with the issue. What you don't deal with creates the shadows, and those shadows will deal with you and then cause tremendous suffering. It's not the desire itself that causes suffering. It's the negative relationship we have with it. So it's a powerful hunger, and it can run our lives. And for many people, it does run your life. But that doesn't mean you have to hurt people with it. When I encouraged that young man, I think it was a young man a couple of weeks ago, to quote unquote fuck his brains out, the reason I said that is because you can't turn off the spigot. It's not like a water thing you can just turn off. But if you finally get enough, you can recognize that it won't bring happiness by itself. And you can recognize that you have to develop as a human being, and that you need to have a relationship that's based on more than just sex if you want to be happy, really happy. So it's a big thing, and there's no quick answers. Do you think marriage can disrupt the spiritual journey of a devotee? No. The only thing that disrupts your spiritual journey is your own attitudes, your own attachment, your own aversion, your own negative feelings about yourself. And if you were meant to be in a cave, you'd already be in a cave. And if you go to a cave and you're really not qualified for that, you'll go crazy. Your mind will drive you out of your mind. You'll go crazy. You just get more depressed and nothing will happen. Nothing positive will happen. So marriage is a way of working with all those desires. And there's a human being there that you have to relate to. And you can learn a lot through relationships. Tremendous amount. For most of us, we learn. Most of what we learn is in relationship, not only with other humans, but we're in relationship to so many things. So, would I go to India if I was 35 in 2022? I would go to India if I was 95 in 2022. I'd go to India whenever I felt like it. Marriage is more attachment. You need more devotion and discipline to have union with God when you are married. He's quoting Maharaji. Maybe that's true, but you can't avoid your stuff. Don't you see? If you're married because you wanted to be married or you had to be married. So, yes, that's going to take up time. But you'd probably just be wasting your time anyway if you weren't married. So it's not evil, it's not bad. But yes, if your marriage brings attachment, you have children, you have cars, you have house, you have place to live, and another human being to relate to all the time, a lot of attachment grows, for sure. And that's your work. But that would be happening anyway. With some other thing. You can't avoid your stuff. And if you try to chop off your desires or this desire or that desire, you're going to be limping through life and never get anything together. Work with what you've been given, what you have in this life, and do the best you can with it. That's your spiritual path. Your life is your path. All right, we gotta go. It's late. Somebody says, you're so wise and deeply understand so many issues. How come? How come? Because I'm still alive and I've gone through so much shit in my life. And I'm still here, so I can think about it a little bit. But I'm not wise, believe me. I'm just, what would you say? Wisdom is something else. Real wisdom is something else. I have some ability to get through the day without killing myself now, especially at this age. That's what I have. And it's all by His grace. All by His grace. I've met real wise people. So, and I know I can tell the difference between them and me. But real wisdom comes from knowing who we are. And we're all working on that. And we're all in this mess together. So we just do the best we can.
Charan Saroja Raja Nijaman Mukur Sudhan Varno Raghubara Bimala Jasu Chodayaku Palachar Buddhihin Tanu Janike Sumiram Pavan Kumar Siaran Balabudhi Vidya Devmohi Padahu Kalle Subhikar Siyavara Ramachandra Padaje Sharanam. Jaya Hanuman Jnana Gunasar Jaya Kapi Sati Uloka Ujar Ramaduta Atulita Baladham Anjani Putra Pavana Sutanam Mahavira Bikram Bhajanangi Kumati Nivar Sumati Kesang Kanchana Varana Viraj Subesa Kanana Kundala Kunchita Kesa Atabhajra Urdhvaja Viraja Kande Munja Jani Usaja Shankara Suvan Kesari Nanda Eja Pratapa Mahajagaban Vidyavan Guni Ati Chaturam Kaja Kari Beko Ata Prabhu Charita Suni Beko Rasiya Amalakan Sita Manabasi Sukshma Rupa Darsiya Hindakava Vikata Rupa Dar Lanka Jarava Ima Rupa Dar Asura Sanhava Ramachandra Ke Kaj Sanhava Aisa Jeevan Lakan Jiyaya Shri Raghuvira Har Shivralaya Rupati kin hi bohut barai Tumamam priya bharatai samabhai Sasabadam tumaro jasaga Asakai shripati kantalaga Sankadika brahmadi munis Narada sharada saita ahisa Namakubera digpal jahante Biko bidakai sake kahante Maupakar sugriwankina Rama milaya raja padadina Maro mantra bibishanama Lankeshwara bhai sab jagajan Yuga sahasra jojan parabhan Yilotai madur palajan Prabhu Mudrika Mele Mukamahi Chaladilange Gaye Achara Janahi Durgama Kaja Jagat Ke Jete Sugama Anugrah Tumare Tete Rama Duare Tumara Kavar Otana Agya Vinapesa Sab Suklahe Tumhari Sharana Chakakaru kodaran Apan teja samaro ape Inon loka hanka ten kante Utapisashana katana hi ave Mahavira jabnama sunave Nase roga hare sabapira Japata nirantara hanumatubira Sankata te hanumana churava Kama Bachana Dhyana Jolave Sabha Pararama Tapasviraja Tinake Kaja Sukala Tumasaja Ramanorata Joko Elave Sove Amita Jirana Palapave Chandra Paratapa Tumare Hepara Siddha Jagata Ujjaya Sadhu Santa Ketuma Rakavare Asura Nikandana Rama Dulare Ashta Siddhino Nidiketata Asabaradina Janaki Mata Rama Rasayana Tumare Pasa Sadaraho Raghupati Kedasa Tumare Bhajana Rama Kopave Janam ke dukh bisarao antakal raghubar pur jai jahan janam har bhakt kahai aur devata chitna darai hanumat se sarv sukh karai sankat kate mite sab pira jo sumere hanumat balbir Jai 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 Hanuman Gosai Kripa Karo Guru Dev Ki Nai Jo Sat Baad Paat Kar Koi Chitahi Bandi Mahasukh Hoi Hoya Par Hanuman Chalisa Hoya Siddhi Saki Garisa Tulsi Das Sada Har Chera Ijai Nata Hrdaya Mahadev Avanata Naya Sankata Harana Mangala Murti Rup Siyaram Rama Lakana Sita Sahita Hrdaya Basar Sura Bhuta Siyavara Rama Chandra Pada Jai Sharanam Mangala Murti Maruta Nanda Sakala Mangala Mula Nikanda Mangala Murti Maruta Nanda Sakala Mangala Mula Nikanda Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Sita Ram, 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 Jai Ram Jai Baba Hanuman Sankat Mochan Kripa Nidhan Jai Ram Jai Jai Hanuman Sankat Mochan Kripa Nidhan Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
If we know anything about a path at all, if we know there might be a way to live in this world in a good way, with an open heart, without fear, it's only because of the great beings that have gone before us. Out of their love, out of their kindness, they left some footprints for us to follow. So, in the same way that they wish for us, in the same way that they wish for us, we wish that all beings everywhere, all of us, be safe, that all of us be happy, that all of us have good health and enough to eat. And may we all live in peace, and that ease of heart, with whatever comes to us in life. I just thought of something, you know. Somebody asked, would I go to India if I was 35? Well, I asked for me. I answered for me, not for you, number 35. You have to figure out if it's the right thing. These days, as far as I'm concerned, there's no reason to go to India. There are many teachings available in the West. There's meditation, there's chanting, there's asana practice, there's seva, there's everything is available here. There are a lot of issues with going to India. It's not easy to stay healthy there. It's not easy to get around. You have to know how to move around, and you should not be traveling alone. But it's not for me to tell you what to do, but I just want to know that I want you to know that I answered that question for me, not for you.